This is your Calls One Planet series. I'm Rose Aguilar. Since returning to office, the Trump administration has dismantled the National Center for Atmospheric Research, the country's premier climate research center, significantly curtailed climate research at NOAA and NASA, published reports denying established climate science, made deep cuts to funding for climate-related energy and farming projects, weakened emission standards, and had the Department of Energy ban employees from using terms like climate change, green, and sustainability. As part of the effort to dismantle the bedrock of U.S. climate policies, Trump and EPA Administrator Lee Zeldin repealed the 2009 Endangerment Finding Act, which found that greenhouse gases threaten public health and welfare. When they made this announcement in February, they stood next to a sign that said, "Largest deregulation in U.S. history." A coalition of 24 states, alongside dozens of cities and counties, are suing the Trump administration over this decision. Well, in her recent article, Trump has launched an unprecedented assault on the environment. Where's the pushback? Investigative climate journalist Ray Tochver reports that though climate crisis enablers expected more resistance to Trump's catastrophic rollbacks, behind the scenes, they are thrilled by the lack of response. She writes, "As Donald Trump assaults the legal foundation of America's ability to regulate global warming emissions, climate deniers have been privately celebrating what they claim is the silent acquiescence of billionaires, Democrats, climate activists, and even reporters to the president's aggressive pro-fossil fuel agenda. And the growing climate hush," she argues, "is not limited to the U.S. It's expanding across the globe as leaders fall silent on the climate crisis." Ray Tochver is an investigative journalist with DSMOG, where she reports on the intersection of climate and big tech. DSMOG was founded in January 2006 to, quote, "clear the PR pollution that is clouding the science and solutions to climate change." Hi, Ray. Thank you so much for this piece. And thank you for joining us.
Thank you. It's lovely to be here, Rose.
Well, it's great to have you. According to polling from the Yale Program on Climate Change Communication, in the United States, 63% of the public say the president and Congress should prioritize clean energy. And yet you write that many Democratic Party representatives have retreated from talking directly about the climate crisis across social media, podcasts, speeches, and in Congress. The party is now embroiled in a debate about whether affordability is a better message than climate action. Ray, this is incredible. What really explains this?
Yeah, you know, I think, Layla, there are so many intersecting factors that have played a role in this move away from talking about climate. Unfortunately, I think one of the big factors is that the Trump administration is sending out so many different emergency media events out into the universe that we're so overwhelmed by different things that are coming up, whether it's immigration, whether it's affordability, that climate is getting knocked by the wayside as an issue because it feels less immediately demanding. And it's also, there are many intersecting factors. It's also to do in part because there's actually been a worldwide crackdown on climate activism since its height in 2018, 2019. Across the world, governments, research shows that governments have been slowly eroding the ability for people in different countries, including in the United States, to go out and protest and be involved. So these things are all compounding into a silence that is pervasive, not just with Democrats, but also with billionaires, particularly tech billionaires, in even climate media. There's been a huge decrease in drop in the levels of coverage of climate change in news reports as well.
Ray, we're having a hard time hearing you. Can you make sure that you're near your microphone? Ray?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, if you can make sure you're near your microphone.
Absolutely.
Okay, thank you. To your point, the Washington Post had a piece back in November, the big issue Democrats have stopped talking about. And I think we should spend a little bit more time on this because it's so important. According to Adam Gentleson, a veteran Democratic operative and the founder of Searchlight Institute, Democrats are learning that direct focus and messaging on climate change does not pay off. In September, the Searchlight Institute urged Democrats to obey, quote, the first rule about solving climate change, don't say climate change. He says Democratic voters care about climate change, but not enough to vote primarily on that issue. I mean, what are you talking to any Democrats about this? I mean, is there much pushback from inside the party, given that we just saw record-breaking heat in the Bay Area, flooding that Hawaii has not seen in 20 years? We're going to play a clip about that in just a few moments, but we are in a climate crisis emergency right now, and it's pretty shocking that Democrats are just not talking about it.
Yeah. The thing about it being a climate hush is that is exactly what it is. It's a hush. However, what I will say is that Senator Sheldon Whitehouse, who's a Democrat from Rhode Island, has actually called out his colleagues recently on Twitter to say that he wrote on Twitter, anyone who cares about what fossil fuel pollution is doing to Earth's natural systems needs to ignore climate hushers, people who think Democrats should stop talking about climate. And I've spoken to a number of experts on the subject, and many agree. There's only one thing, Genevieve Genther, who is a climate communications expert and a founding director of an advocacy group called End Climate Silence, told me that essentially climate hushing is just benefiting the Trump regime's agenda, right? The Trump regime has gone all in for oil and gas, you know, clean coal, and pulling away from climate and trying to focus instead on energy affordability actually plays right into the Trump regime's hands. On the other hand, I also spoke to the leading American environmentalist, Bill McKibben, and he's more optimistic. I think to him, while he sees that the word climate has been coming out of a number of things that would traditionally have been called climate, like transitioning to green energy, he argued to me that even if climate's not in there, that we're making faster climate progress on solar and wind than we have at any point in the last 40 years.
Speaking about what we're dealing with right now, The Guardian has a piece called Weather Extremes Gripping U.S. Bear Climate Crisis Fingerprint. Marina Dunbar writes, the heat wave scorching the West would have been virtually impossible if not for the climate crisis, according to a team of scientists. And we want to play a clip. Over the weekend, Hawaii was hit with the worst flooding it has seen in 20 years. Here is a clip from ABC News reporter Jacqueline Lee.
Devastating flooding ravaging Oahu's North Shore.
Careful.
As more than 5,000 people are forced to evacuate. The community, known for its big wave surfing. Kathleen Pahinui had to evacuate her home in Waialua and is in a hotel.
I've lived in my community for over 40 years, and I've never, in all the years I've lived there, ever seen it that bad. It's very scary and it's very, very stressful.
Emergency crews conducting search and rescue operations on the ground and in the air, rescuing 230 people and counting across the island. On the ground, Hawaii National Guardsmen fanning out across the island. Wind gusts up to 45 miles an hour, toppling roofs, downing trees, destruction everywhere.
I just heard like a loud crunching, and then I never knew it was the house, but I learned later that it was.
Here, you can see several feet of water washing away the road, making it impossible for this driver to pass. Officials are closely monitoring water levels at the 120-year-old Wahiawa Dam on Oahu. Additional rainfall could quickly push levels higher again, with fear of it failing. The flooding stemming from a Kona storm, a seasonal storm system bringing wind and rain from the west and southwest, which is common this time of year. Officials have reported several serious injuries, but thankfully no deaths. Governor Josh Green saying the storm could cost more than $1 billion, with damage to airports, roads, and homes.
According to WRAL, the intensity and frequency of heavy rains in Hawaii have increased because of the climate crisis. And then just one more piece to talk about. The New York Times, the planet's warning signs are flashing red. David Gales writes, oceans are warming at an accelerating rate. Glaciers are melting at a quickening pace. Sea levels are rising faster. Droughts, heat waves, and storms are all growing more intense. So given all of that, Ray, the numbers are just so interesting because there's polling from the Yale Program on Climate Change Communication. And in the U.S., 63% of the population wants Congress to prioritize clean energy. And yet you have, like your report, and this is such a good piece, you've got people like Mark Moreno, this major climate denier or climate crisis enabler, whatever terms you want to use there, who said billionaires are silent, Democrats have been silent, there's been no pushback. And you interviewed Robert Brohl, a professor of environment and society at Brown University, and he says, I agree with this. Nothing's happened. There wasn't even a whimper. He said, I never thought I'd say this, but Mark Morano is correct.
Yeah, it's a pretty sad day when some of the United States's most notorious climate deniers who have been spreading absolute complete misinformation, denying that there's a man-made cause of climate change, which is established, well-established science, now for decades. It's a sad day when a leading environmental sociologist agrees with Mark Morano crowing to a room full of his climate denialist compatriots at an alternative Davos conference that they've just won victory after victory. It's quite disheartening.
What can you tell us about Mark Morano, given that these guys are really winning right now?
Mark Morano, he runs or has run for a long time a website called Climate Depot. He's affiliated with the institute that hosted the alternative to Davos conference in Switzerland, Davos being the meeting of high level, you know, business interests that meet in Switzerland every year. So the Heartland Institute conference was basically set up. The Heartland Institute is a conservative climate denial organization that's been at the forefront of denying climate science for decades and contributed to Project 2025. They've been becoming more and more influential to the point where actually just in a few weeks now, the head of the EPA, Lee Zeldin, who you referred to earlier and who has actually played a major role in the decimation of the 2009 endangerment finding, which was what the government used in order to
need to take a break there? It sounds like something's going on behind the scenes.
No, it's okay.
Okay, I just hear something moving.
Very strange.
Why don't you take a minute there and I'll just read from part of your piece. So today we are speaking from Ray Tokver, who is an investigative journalist for DSmog, and she wrote a really important piece called Trump Has Launched an Unprecedented Assault on the Environment. Where is the pushback? So you have this guy, Mark Morano, and it's so interesting because when the cable shows were talking about climate crisis many, many years ago, they always treated it as a debate. So they would bring on a professional liar to debate a scientist. And they don't do that anymore because we know that the science is legit. And as Ray said, across the board, scientists agree that oil and gas is just making the climate crisis worse. And so they would bring on guys like Mark Morano to debate, quote, debate scientists. And Mark Morano is the one that said, I cannot believe this, that there has not been more pushback. And in Ray's piece, Robert Broll, a professor of environment and society at Brown University, said, I never thought I'd say this, but Mark Morano is correct. And Ray, later in your piece, the sociologist Broll said, I think the climate movement in the United States has failed. It has flat failed. And that means we need to rebuild this movement in a completely different manner. So were you able to ask him, what would that look like?
Yeah, I did ask him. I think when we were having our conversation, what came up for us was that we really need to start the movement again, or what Robert told me was that he wanted to start the movement, or if I'm honest with you, part of
you're good, Ray.
Yeah,
you're good. You're good. You're good. Your reporting is so, so important. I mean, I appreciate that. Yeah, no, it's all good. Reporting is great. The people that you interviewed, I just think this is where we're at. We need to have an honest conversation about this. And your piece does such a good job of doing that. So tell us more about what you spoke about with Broll.
Yeah, I think so. When I talked to Broll about that, to be honest, we couldn't answer the question. Mm. And I think that's part of the real challenge. And I think, you know, Broll and I are just two people. I'm a journalist. He's an environmental sociologist. But the United States is a country of hundreds and millions of people. And until the climate movement tries to understand or seeks to understand better all of the people that live in America, I think that's where guidance on the climate movement will come from, and where it could go.
Well, and also part of the problem, Ray, is when you look at climate coverage on the broadcast news, Media Matters has an analysis that found last year coverage of the climate crisis was down 35%.
Yes.
So it's also a major media problem.
Yes, it absolutely is. We've been seeing reports of significantly curtailed climate coverage. Not only that, there's actually been a ton of firings lately, or layoffs of climate journalists. I don't know if you were following when Jeff Bezos at the Washington Post laid off scores of journalists. That included a large portion of its climate desk. And when they did so, they then just a week later came out with, an opinion piece that praising the Trump administration for doing away with the endangerment findings. So there's been a real drop in coverage of climate change across the United States.
You report that at the Heartland Institute, Mark Morano expressed delighted shock over the flips on climate as tech mogul Jeff Bezos and Bill Gates, their companies have abandoned once ambitious climate promises as they confront the skyrocketing energy demands of their AI businesses. And in our final moments, Ray, it's so interesting when you write about the climate activists too, because Mark Morano thought that he'd see more pushback. But don't you think that's because activists, like people listening to this show who care so deeply about all of these issues, are so overwhelmed? I mean, you're talking about people dying, being shot and killed by ICE agents. And so people are protesting that. They're protesting the overturning of Roe. They're trying to keep their communities safe. They're doing mutual aid. I mean, there's only so much people can do. Do you think that's part of the issue?
I definitely think feeling overwhelmed is a really important thing that is affecting people. But what I would say is that if we don't take climate change seriously now, these problems are only going to get compounded, because at the end of the day, we are all dependent on our environment. And if we don't manage to keep global warming within 2 degrees centigrade, all of these other issues that we're running into, whether that's the move into authoritarianism or conflicts and food crises are only going to get worse. Mm.
Well, it's such an important piece, Ray, and we would love to talk more about this and have some activists on to talk about where we go from here. Ray Tockfer is an investigative journalist with DSMOG. We've been talking about her piece, Trump Has Launched an Unprecedented Assault on the Environment. Where is the Pushback? Thank you so much, Ray.
Thank you.
And thank you so much for joining us. I'm Rose Aguilar. It's your call.